Greetings, APW family. This is President Mark Demerstein joining you again with our podcast, Communicating with the Members. We hope you find these podcasts enjoyable, but more importantly, informative. And again, just as a reminder, you can reach our podcast through any of the platforms, including Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and of course, on the APW website. So in our last podcast, Industrial Relations Director Charlie Cash and I shared some of the background, some of the planning, some of the importance of our upcoming national negotiations for a new main agreement, CBA, Collective Bargaining Agreement, union contract, as we call it, that covers 200,000 postal workers represented by the APW. And in that podcast, we talked about that negotiations are never easy. They're very difficult. And the more organized we are, the more prepared we are, the better the results will be. And we talked about how negotiations really come down to a question of us building our maximum power and leverage as postal workers in relation to management. And one of the fundamental ways we build power and leverage is through the foundation of our union, which is, guess what? You, the member. Everybody paying their fair share, everybody pulling together. That's the foundation on which we build even our basic rights, where management has to come to the table and negotiate over wages, hours, and working conditions. So our level of organization, meaning how many people are in the union, what the percentage of the people we represent are in the union, has a big impact on everything we do, especially at a time like this where we're going into collective bargaining. And as a reminder, again, our collective bargaining, the opening day is June 25th. We'll be in touch with all of you around some plans around that day. And of course, the main agreement expires on September 20th. So I invited our organization director, Anna Smith, who does a wonderful job, to join us in this podcast today to talk about some plans we have to help build our power and leverage through organizing the non-members as we head into these negotiations. And as I said, we represent about 200,000 postal workers. We're about 80% organized. In many ways, that's darn good. But in many ways, it also shows that we got a lot of work to do and we can do it. And we hope this podcast will help inspire you to play a role in helping to get that good, solid, dynamite new contract that you've all earned through your hard work and dedication. Welcome to the podcast, Anna. Great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the level of organization generally. Of course, we are launching a organizing campaign as we lead up to opening day, and that'll start on April 1st, building more union power. And we've set a big goal, folks out there, 5,000 new members in that 2.5 month period. So, Anna, why don't you share some of the details of the campaign, what we're trying to achieve, and then we'll talk about how to get there, because everybody who's listening to this podcast and many of your coworkers have a role to play to help this campaign succeed.
Absolutely. I am really excited about this campaign going on this year. You know, in our when we're talking organizing campaign, what we are talking about is about all of us, each of you out there as well, collectively working together to increase our worker power. We are getting ready to be heading into contract negotiations. And when we go to meet up against and go to fight against the Postal Service, we want to make sure that we have as much bargaining power as possible.
That's right.
And, you know, that's going to include getting every one of those non-members on our side, because as all of you know, if they are not standing with us, they are standing against us. And what does that mean? It means that every non-member who chooses to be a non-member, they are standing on the side of the Postal Service. So, you know, I think it's important that people understand that the bargaining power is going to be based upon how many of us are standing together.
Right. So what are some of the ideas we can share with the good listeners out there about how to make this campaign a success and some of the tools we have? Maybe a lot of our members don't realize at this point that people can be signed up online. They can be signed up on their smartphones. You know, should people come to the union meetings, talk to their local presidents and other officers about volunteering to help on this campaign, raising their hand, saying, here I am. If you got an organizing committee, I'd love to serve on it. Those those kind of ideas, because I'm sure every member out there understands that the non-members are bringing us all down.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of our members or a lot of people out there might generally think that it's just the leaders who have to do the organizing. And it's not. It takes each one of us. It can't be just the leaders out there doing all the organizing, signing up the non-members. We have, you know, thousands of workers on the workroom floor who are working right next to a non-member every single day. And what we're going to be shooting for is really asking them to talk to those non-members they are working with. We're going to be sending out mailings to our members saying, hey, and we're going to make it easy for them. We'll give them a card that they can actually hand to that non-member and have them scan that card so that the person can actually join online right from their phone. The entire process actually only takes 2.5 minutes. I've walked people through this process on the phone.
2 minutes and 28 seconds.
I've actually timed them and said, you know, I really appreciate it. I'd love your help on this.
Can people also sign up on paper and mail it in or turn it in to
absolutely.
Officers and shop steward?
Absolutely. So we have the membership application, 1187. Most locals have a supply of these. If you guys aren't aware of where to find them, you can actually go on the APW website. There's a organizer's toolbox where someone can actually print out an 1187 and print it out, send it in, or however they prefer to get it to me. It's easy.
Sounds like Staples. That was easy. Okay.
But again, back to getting the members on the workroom floor. I can't stress enough that I think we all know that our leaders are really busy right now, whether it's dealing with the Postal Service network modernization or safety issues. You know, so these leaders are focusing on that, filing the grievance. This isn't about filing the grievance. You don't have to be able to file a grievance to be able to sign up a non-member. In fact, I'm not necessarily looking for the stewards to be our primary focus here. It's everyday rank and file on the workroom for members and really asking you guys to get involved in signing up the non-members. And of course, you can get with their local leaders and communicate with them. As you said, you know, whether they have an organizing committee, great. See if they can't get actively involved in that. If their local doesn't have an organizing committee, we're asking them, why not go to your local leader and say, hey, I'm willing to get a group of people together. We also have a team that we're going to have out there in the field that will be able to help and guide people on how to set an organizing team, how to get those people together. But we will help them every step of the way on that. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for everyone. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what your title is or no title, there's going to be an opportunity for everyone to get involved in this.
Yeah, thanks, Anna. Now, you know, one thing, all my time on the workroom floor, I was local president for 12 years as well. The non-members don't usually walk around with a sign that says, I'm a freeloader riding your back. So how do people even find out who the non-members are? What in their pay locations, in their post office, in their plant? Is there a way that the members can readily find out who the non-members are in their work areas and work locations?
Well, I normally ask them to get with their local because their local actually has access to all the non-members. Some locals choose to post those information, especially, you know, that might be something that you do during the dry period so that people are aware that we all have union bulletin boards in our postal facilities. That's been another negotiated right. Use those bulletin boards, you know, and do it in a way that you are discouraging people from joining, but more in a positive manner of, hey, we're asking you guys to stand with us. And these are the people that we're looking to stand with us because, you know, we're looking to increase our worker power. So they could do it in that way. But again, you know, they can check with their local to see if they have the non-member list, or if they reach out to me, I'm happy to check with their local. If they can't figure out or get connected with their local, I can help them do that so that we can make that happen.
And they could, I would imagine in many cases, the shop steward over to pay locations might know.
Absolutely.
As well as, and they could ask their shop steward. And then what are some of the ideas you could share about how to win over that non-member? Is it yelling and screaming? Is it trying to listen? Is it a combination of the two? Is it trying to identify maybe who they're most friendly with or who they go out and bowl with the Friday after work and talk to that good member about, hey, so-and-so, you may not realize that so-and-so that you bowl with every week is riding your back as a freeloader. And somebody may say, you're kidding me. Give me that form. How does it work best in your experience? And I know there's not everything's unique, and every local area has its unique characteristics and the local workforce. But what are some of the ideas that you can share with the listeners, and some of the ways in which you would recommend approaching the non-members?
Well, I kind of got a laugh.
Of course, it might depend how long they've been a non-member,
and
how short they've been a member.
I don't know that anyone's ever gotten anything by yelling and screaming or being aggressive. But I also feel that we need to make sure those non-members feel like they don't belong. I think that's the key: is they want to come into work and they want to put their blinders on and pretend like they work in a non-union environment, that they'd just come in and do their job, and they don't want to talk to anyone and try to get by and skim by with people thinking they're in the union. The biggest thing, I think, is trying to, start out your conversation of letting them know that we want them to stand with us. And, I try to get across to people, not necessarily asking someone to join, but asking them to stand with you. It's much harder for someone to say, no, they are not going to stand with you, than it is for someone to say, no, they are not going to join.
Yeah, and with a contract coming up, that's a very compelling message, because we're going to have to stand together if we want the kind of results that postal workers have earned and deserve. So I've been around the block on the workroom floor for many years, and always liked organizing and talking to the non-members. And you hear these classic lines out there, these classic answers. Well, the union's never done anything for me. How do we answer that?
The thing I try to push, and again, this just came from the AFL-CIO on how to deal with these non-member questions or their responses, is ignoring the excuses. I think a lot of times we all feel like we got to instantly try to solve whatever their issue is. And there's always something going on that's a little bit deeper. Those are just excuses. And so one of the biggest things is ignoring the excuses. Finding out, if someone says, hey, the union's never done something for me, really trying to ignore those excuses that they're giving and find out what issues are going on in the workroom. There's always something holding them back. And, one of the examples I often give is overtime, where people are like, want to blame the union for them working overtime, and really kind of helping them. And when they say, well, I'm not going to join the union because the union always makes me work overtime, it's the union's fault, I have to use it. And what I mean by ignore the excuses is, so whose decision is it to work you the overtime? And get them to realize that it's actually a management decision. That's all those issues that they're having, it's the result of management. And the only way to change things is going to be by us standing together.
Yeah, and I know the good listeners out there, I mean, the absurdity of the union's never done anything for me, when this contract, we're in our fifth COLA of six, just in this contract, that our main agreement from 2021. Our COLA is, for the career employees, is $5,300 more a year. Going forward year after year during this time of high inflation, just a wonderful, hard-fought union right. Almost no worker has it in this country. Even the other postal workers now have what we call prorated COLA. They don't have full COLA. We're the only union standing. Somebody's got the nerve to say, what's the union done for me lately? And then even thinking about this network realignment or modernization, the fact that there are going to be changes, and we as a union will stand strong and do the best we can in light of those changes. But the fact that we have a 50-mile limit, that an employee can't be moved more than 50 miles, so families don't get disrupted, people don't have to sell homes, spouses don't have to quit jobs, kids don't have to change schools, that's another incredible union one right. Same with our no layoff protection for the career employees of more than 6 years. And actually, everyone who was career when the contract was signed and effective couple years ago, September 2021, people have no layoff protections. Unheard of. So when people get into this petty thing, well, the union didn't win my overtime grievance, or they didn't win this, or I couldn't get my leave that day, and they're worthless. All those people are gladly taking that COLA to the bank, are relishing in the security, deep job security that so few workers have, but have the nerve to say, I'm not going to pay my dues because the union doesn't mean anything to my life and my family's life. And at the end of the day, Anna, I've always felt that it's just selfishness and greed for the most part. I'm not going to pay and somebody else will have to do it and the union will have to do what they do. So that's another question I had for you. And I'm sure you've heard it. I'm sure the people out there have heard it if they've ever talked to members. Well, the union's got to represent me anyway. Why should I pay dues?
Well, you know, you do. You hear people say that. And again, it's trying to find the heart of what's going on that's holding them back from joining, from holding them back from wanting to be together and standing with us. So someone who says, hey, well, I get represented anyway, you sure do. However, we are working together to collectively increase our bargaining strength, everything that we have. And so you just go into, you're basically, you're providing them information about what it means to be a union. Something else I get often is that people say, I'm getting ready to retire. So I'm not going to, I don't care if you're, you know, 2 months away from retiring, you could be a member for those last 2 months. And, you know, that's actually one of the talking points. You know, hey, wait, as long as you're a member when you leave the APW, you can turn around and be a retiree. And, you know, that's a short dues to pay, you know.
Small amount
to pay as a retiree. And you're going to benefit from everything that we do for the retirees. And people don't realize that. So it's not just that we're protecting you while you're working. We're also protecting and making it possible for you to retire from the post office in the first place. And then we're going to continue to fight for you as a retiree in matters that affect them there. So it's something lifelong. It's not, hey, I just going to do it while I'm working. I think it's important that we also stress that, you know, this is a lifelong thing. We're going to be fighting for you every step of the way.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize too, Anna, that most of the people that we represent in the crafts we represent, clerk, craft, maintenance, motor vehicle support services, the overwhelming majority of you are doing the right thing and standing strong and standing together and understanding and really gladly paying dues, understanding how much more we have gotten out of those dues in terms of our rights, in terms of our job security, the fact that the boss can't just walk up and fire you and you're done. I don't want anybody to get the idea that you're not doing a really good job out there and doing the right thing. But we got to find a way to reach those non-members who, again, in my view, are just too selfish to pay their fair share. And we have to work together to try to win them over. And we can. And look, when a non-member doesn't pay their dues, we're weaker on every front, not just when we go to the bargaining table. We're weaker when we file grievances. We're weaker when we're trying to build a safer workplace. We have less resources, but more important than that, we have less participation, less ideas, less creativity, less unity in action when people are not part of the union. Of course, the non-members don't have a say and they don't have a voice. And so part of our appeal to the people that we work with is the union's here, the union's strong, but we can be stronger and you also need a voice. And the union is a vehicle for that voice at work. So in this organizing campaign, do we have any kind of exciting incentives to get people involved and get people talking to their coworkers who are not members?
So we do have incentives that are going to be for the organizers, the people who are actually going out there and asking people to stand with us. And, you know, with 38,000 non-members, if every person committed to asking one non-member to join, every non-member would be asked to join several times. That's all, you know, if we can get everyone to ask just one non-member to join and ask them to stand with us, we could cover all of our non-member coworkers. So we have some great new organizing shirts that I'm really excited about. I've had a lot of people say, hey, these are probably some of the best. So I'm excited to reveal that. I think that's going to be coming out in the magazine that's coming up. We have some lunch boxes and some coffee cups. So depending on how many people they organize, we're going to get the information out there to the locals. Like I said, it's in the magazine as well. There's a place on all the forms for people to write their name as the organizer. If they're helping someone join online, there's a spot online for them to put their name. So once they put their name in, we will actually keep a tally of how many people each person's signing up. So we're, you know, if you sign up one, great, but, you know, don't stop there. You know, I'd love for people to sign up 2, 3, 4, 5, however many, all their non-members in their work area. I would love for each of them to sign up everyone. And we're doing quite a bit here at the headquarters level. So besides the mailings, and we're going to try a, we haven't done a postcard to our non-members. So I'm excited to do that coming up during this drive. We also have texts that are going to be going out, emails that are going to be going out, phone calls. We're going to be using every avenue we have possible that we're aware of. So, you know, Nashville has a lot going on that we're going to be providing. We have some our incentives, but we're also encouraging locals. It doesn't mean, hey, these are the only incentives that you can provide. So as I said, we're going to provide incentives to the organizers. I know some locals do different cash incentives. I just spoke to a local last week who they do $20 and they were just signed up quite a few. And they actually gave them to it at the meeting. And so they had everyone bring 1187s to the meeting and they gave everyone a $20 bill. And then gave incentives to the new members. So, you know, nothing's preventing locals from having incentives at the local level as well. And in fact, you know, if they want to do something, I encourage them. There's always been lots. We are asking locals to sign on to the drive, make a local or state commitment pledge of how many non-members they can commit to signing up during this drive.
So, Anna, you talked about goals, and we're asking every single member, and everybody listening to this podcast, can you set a goal of signing up one non-member? Not just talking to one, but signing up one. And if we did that all over the country, we would reach our goal of 5,000 quickly, and we would reach beyond it. So the national has goals. The local has goals. We're asking each one of you to set your own goal, and it's in our own self-interest as we go to bargaining, as we fight the many challenges that we're facing, to have the strongest possible foundation to enable us to carry on this good fight. And by the way, if you sign up one non-member, you get a union t-shirt, like Anna said, but now you're wearing a shirt and spreading the union message in another way. So we hope you'll be involved and as excited in this campaign as we are. And it's a way that each and every one of you can play a role in the outcome of our negotiations for a new contract. Because again, the more power and leverage we have, the better the results will be. And our power and leverage starts with the foundation of membership. So we certainly hope you'll go out with enthusiasm. And Anna, Sister Anna Smith, our terrific organizing director, you can reach her at asmith@apw.org, and she'll be happy to answer any questions and assist in any way. This is very doable, and building union power is our way to an ever better future. We've discussed the 1187s a couple of times. I just want to remind people again, that's the membership form. So when we say 1187, that's the form that people have to fill out to authorize their dues deductions. You can get that in hard copy from your local or from Anna. And of course, the ability now to do this online is terrific. And it's the same form. It's the 1187. And you can go to, you can find that form at apw.org/join. So Anna, any thoughts before we sign off for today?
So even though we're kicking off our drive on April 1st, I need locals and people to start planning now. Make the plan now, what you're going to be doing. Don't wait till April 1st to start making that plan. Start meeting with your locals, going to your meetings, and
getting lists of the non-members, right? Making sure we got a lot of 1187s.
Posted on our website, we are going to have on the main screen, Building Union Power, where you can find out what's going on, what we're doing, what's happening with the organizing drive, and find out more information. You'll be able to download forms that you might need during your drive.
And Anna, I believe the March-April issue of the magazine will be landing in people's homes. So it's got a major spread on the Building Union Power campaign. So also, we're alerting all of you to take a look at that. And listen, this is your union. This is our lives that we're building a better work life and better community life around building union power. We need everybody to step up and have standards with these non-members, that they're riding our backs, and those non-members need to know how you feel. They need to know that you're paying your fair share. You're proud to pay your fair share. You do it voluntarily. And we need everybody else, as Anna said, to join together with us. But we also have to be a mirror for these folks that this is wrong to be riding the backs of everybody else, letting others pay the freight and weakening all of us in the process, whether it's how safe or unsafe our workplaces are, what kind of contract we get, how we protect our job security provisions in this new round of bargaining. So it's really, really important. And we're urging all of you to understand, it may not seem like that much to sign up one new member, but 5 or 10,000 of you do that around the country, and we're going to be 5 or 10,000 stronger. And that's going to have a positive impact on everything we do at the local level, at the state level, at the regional level, and at the national level. And don't think for a minute that postal management doesn't know exactly how many people are in the union, what our percentage of organizing is. And when we get a big bump right before we go into bargaining, they're also going to notice that, and it's going to mean something to them. So there's a lot to do to win a new and good and well-deserved gains that postal workers have earned. On top of the organizing drive, we're going to have a survey, a contract survey, where we'd like to know what kind of changes you would all like to see. Of course, we have a formal process for that through the union meetings and votes of the membership. But we also are going to ask every member to weigh in on what's on their mind. On opening day or the night before opening day, we're going to have kickoffs. We're going to have sticker campaigns. It matters. If we launch a sticker campaign and nobody puts on a sticker around a good contract, that sends management a message. If everybody's got those stickers on, that sends management the message that we're united for a good contract. So we need for you to be involved on every front, in your local union, around the contract campaign, around the health and safety fights. And of course, the focus of this podcast today was how we can each be organizers. Each one of us can be organizers as we organize for a better life. This union has a wonderful history of accomplishments, and has been accomplished because people have been willing to pay dues, to get involved, and to build a better life. And we're going to keep that going, but the stronger we are, the better, as again, we've said before, the better the results will be. So Anna, thanks so much for joining us today. Keep up the great work on this campaign and beyond. And by the way, folks, the campaign's going to end on opening day, June 25th, but organizing never stops. This is a concerted effort to send management the message that we're stronger than we've ever been. But after June 25th, don't sit back and say, okay, we don't have to organize anymore. But we are focused right now, starting April 1st to June 25th, which is opening day. And again, we're here to assist all of you and your locals and states in any way to help this campaign be a tremendous success. So carry on, everybody. We hope everybody's well. We know you're all working hard. It's not always easy with all of management's plans, all of their mismanagement, but we can be very proud that we're here for the people of the country, very proud that we're union strong, and just recognize that with all of your work and all of your help, we can be even that much stronger. So again, I just want to remind everybody that the podcast is available on all the platforms, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and of course the APW website. If you like these podcasts, share it with the members. Let them know that it's available out there. And if you have any ideas about subjects for the future that you'd like us to address, about ways we can improve the podcast, please share them with us. This is simply an effort to try to use new technology to help share information with all of you, and information that you can use as postal workers and postal union members and activists. So we welcome all your input. So be well, be strong. We'll talk to you next time.
You can download the podcast on all streaming services, including YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
or wherever you listen to podcasts regularly.